Replay, reflect, believe. More of God's Word for walking in faith every day of the week.
We pray that you are inspired to read the scripture further and to continue attending your local church. When in Philadelphia, you're welcome to join us for worship at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121, Sundays at 11 a.m. Now it's time to enjoy today's message.
Amen. But with that being said, let us pray. Father, we thank you on this great, grand, glorious morning that you have given us today. Father, we're so thankful for the chance that you have given us, the opportunity to come back into your house where new mercies have already met us, oh God, where your love has already surrounded us. Father, where we know that you are here, that we drew near to you and you in return were faithful to draw nigh to us. And Father, we're so thankful that we know you're in this house today. Today, that you're abiding in our midst, that you have met your people, you have heard our call, you have heard the cry of our heart, that we desired to be where you are, God, and you have brought us to a place where we could gather, where we would not just be by our own, but Father, where we could gather congregationally and meet you in the Spirit. So Father, we thank you right now because you are in this house, you are with your people, you are watching over us, loving over us, covering us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we have come, oh Lord, that you might continue the work of faith that you begun in us a long time ago. We're not turning around, but Father, we're here today that you might continue with what you have begun. Stay with us, oh Lord, equip us and build us up in the word that you have sent for us today. This is our prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Saints, if you're able to stand, I'm not going to keep you on your feet for long. There are just two verses coming from Matthew, the sixth chapter. It'll be the 14th and 15th verse. Amen. So if you can make your way to the New Testament, the book of Matthew and the sixth chapter, we'll be right there in 14 and 15. This is just after the Lord's Prayer. I'll be reading from the New King James, where it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. You may be seated. Told you it was just those two. We'll dip into some of the others there as well. But for your consideration on this morning, I'd like to speak from this subject. I've already given it to you, but I'll give it to you one more time. We must pray.
Yes.
Amen. In this time, in this season, in what the Lord's calling us to, we must pray. Amen. And in some regards, even as it was in my spirit this morning, that we could have gone to the altar in prayer at 10 a.m., we could go to the altar right now if you would get this message. But before we do, there might be a few additional things we need to get in our hearts. But I do want you to know that we must pray. And after such an amazing, wonderful move of God, as we witnessed in our fellowship in the community day that we had last week. Sometimes it's just this thing that burns out in front of you, and it's almost an impulse that you look at what the Lord was able to do, and you just want to double down on it. You just want to say, "Well, let's get another one in before the month is out." Amen. It's easy sometimes because of what we see before our eyes. When we see it, we're saying, "Lord, do that again. Let's plan the next event." We have an urge. Maybe to stock up, to resource and repeat. But as I began to talk with God about our community day, he replied, he said, it's not time to stock up, but he did say it's time to pray. Amen. And that's what he was putting in my spirit. He reminded me that if we're ever going to understand what God wants to do for Open Door Baptist Church and what he wants to do in our own households, that what he's going to do in this season, it'll only be through the connections that we make with him in prayer. I was asking the Lord, you know, I've been asking him for months, what are the programs that will bring souls to your altar? What are the sermon subjects that will resonate with your people when they leave from the sanctuary? What will increase their faith? Lord, what can we do to spread your love outside of these walls to our neighbors up and down the block and throughout the community? I've been asking him. I said to him, you've moved so beautifully in this community day. Is this confirmation, Lord, of the direction that you're having us to go? But he moved in my soul again, and he said it one more time. He said, listen, he said, it's time to pray. I was reminded of the words of the Christian author E.M. Bounds, who famously writes many books about prayer. But he said, what the church needs today is not more programs or better ones, not new organizations or more and improved methods, but people whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men and women of prayer who are mighty in prayer. Amen. Listen, he's not saying we don't need the programs. He said, but we can't have the programs without men and women who are mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through people. Amen. He does not come on machinery and resources, but on people. He does not anoint plans, but he anoints men and women of prayer. Amen. 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 We must pray. And God is calling his people. He's calling his church. He's calling the body of Christ to be in a position of prayer. We know in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God is showing us that he does indeed, he expects us to come together congregationally in prayer. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, get off our high horse, humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The Lord was telling us, he said, yeah, I'm going to, he said, the Lord, you know what he's saying? He said, I'm the program. He said, I'm going to move and fix what you need fixed, heal what you need healed. He said, but first I need you to humble yourself. Come to me in prayer. Amen. You've probably heard me several times in different teachings. I've been going through this simple framework for Christian growth. I'm talking about these four areas from time to time. Read, study, reach, apply. Amen. Read, which is our daily interaction with God's word. We do it through reading the printed word. We do it through audio Bibles. We do it through the hearing of preaching. The next thing is when we study, when we begin to ask questions of the word, we begin to compare scriptures one to another, and we come together and we discuss the Bible. We try to get a greater understanding. The next thing, after we've done a little bit of studying, we try to go out and apply it. Amen. We intentionally use God's word to carry out our day-to-day life activities. We collaborate with others around applying God's word. And then lastly, we reach. We share the gospel with others in our homes, our neighborhood, our workspaces, our organizational spaces. You've heard me talk about this framework. But this framework for Christian living, if we're really going to grab hold of it, if we're really going to use it to grow our faith, in order for it to be effective, the Christian principle of prayer must be applied liberally. That's before, that's during, and that's after anything that we decide we're going to do for God. Amen? Prayer is the key. Prayer unlocks doors along the path that we must travel. I think you're starting to get it. I think you're starting to see where I'm going. And most of us will understand the importance of prayer. Most of us will participate in it. But then where we might get tripped up is when we get called on to pray ourselves. Amen. When we get called on specifically to use our own voice, use our own words, it's then that we might run into a little bit of stage fright. We might be left without words. We just don't know particularly what we should say. You know, it's good. It's good. I can be there. I can bow my head. I can hold that hand when someone else is praying. But I'm not sure what to do when I need to use my own voice. And I'll tell you, perhaps it was also the disciples who had this same kind of stage fright. Remember, these disciples, these 12, they weren't professional public speakers. They were fishermen and regular folks. They weren't trained to speak, but they were a part of Jesus's ministry. And listen, they were having regular community days. People were gathering wherever they went. Some came to be healed. Some came for the fishes and loaves. Some came because they were actually seeking heaven. But with all of those community days that Jesus and the disciples had in the Bible, they had to have prayer before, during, and after those gatherings. And listen, was it only Jesus that was expected to pray? We can imagine that the disciples had those questions. And in Matthew chapter 6, in that scenario, this is where we receive instruction from Jesus in what we famously remember as the Lord's Prayer. Amen? It's one of the most known prayers in the Bible. We often learn it as children if we're fortunate to be in a Christian home or around Christian people. Amen. And then it's one that we can still find ourselves able to recite when we become old. Amen. So it's one of these that we remember. It was in chapter 6 of Matthew. It was part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's also in Luke, the 11th chapter. And, you know, it's in Luke where it's recorded that one of the disciples actually said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Amen. Ask the Lord some questions. He might answer you. Amen. Ask the Lord what you should do. He may direct you. Amen. So. Jesus begins with the first answer. He's going to work with our stage fright. He's going to work with our locked up voices. And he speaks these words. And this is where we find our subject for today. He begins and he says, "When you pray," three simple words. But what I want to emphasize is that he said, "When you." Amen. When you pray. Come on, tell your neighbor, "When you pray." You can point at him today. Point at him. It's all right. We're not judging. But when you pray, amen. He's given us these instructions and he's letting us know because we're disciples, because we're students, we're going to get called on to pray. It's no surprise. It's no okie doke. What he's doing is he's giving us this expectation. There's going to come a time when you need to pray. And he says that it's going to be a regular, consistent part of our discipleship, consistent part of our faith walk. So come on, let's get into it. Matthew 6, verse 5. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Amen. So come on, I don't want you to get confused on this. I know we have community prayer on Wednesday, which means we're going outside to pray. Amen. So let's not get confused. Jesus is not saying that there's not a place for that. What he says, don't do it so that you may be seen by men. He said, don't do it for appearance sake. He's saying what we need to do is get our heart straight. We need to pray in sincerity. Amen. It's not for the purpose of being seen by others, but he's teaching us the importance of spiritually positioning ourselves for prayer. Humbling ourselves first and not being puffed up with pride. Amen. So verse 7, he says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Amen. So it's okay. We gotta get this. Some of our prayers may be repetitive. Amen. You may pray the Lord's Prayer every day for a month. Amen. It might be repetitive. That's not the problem. What he's saying, don't use vain repetitions. Okay, I've told you before, these words that we pray, these words that we speak, they are not magic. It's not hocus pocus. We say these words and something happens. That's not what it is. But when we're spiritually positioned before the Lord and we're humble in our hearts and we're praying from that point, amen, when we speak in words, the Holy Spirit translates it to the Father, words that we would not be able to say on our own. Amen. He says, therefore, don't be like them. Don't be like the ones that are just going to repeat it and they just want to be seen and they're just going to babble it out. But he says, pray to the Father with a humble and sincere heart and not as one who desires the reward of praise from other people. Amen. Verse 9, he starts to give us an example. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Amen. Let's start studying. We're studying right now. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. He says, what we're doing here, we're beginning our prayers with honor to our Creator, our holy and righteous Father, who is worthy to be praised. Amen. The word says if we had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough to praise him. Amen. Glory to God. So when we do this, we give him the praise that he is due. We lift up the name of the Lord who has been good and faithful to us. Amen. We open our prayers with praise and adoration for the Lord, our Savior, the one true and loving God who loved us even when we did not express our love back to him. But now that we know him for ourselves, glory to his name, we return to him all of the glory, all of the honor that he had shined down upon us. We're saying, Lord, we honor your name. Amen. He goes further, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Listen, here's where we begin to show our submission to God's will. This is where we're turning and we're making sure that as we pray, we're saying, God, let it be your will, not simply our request. Amen. We're saying that we recognize, God, that your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We're seeking your will, Father, above our own. We want some stuff. Amen. We got some stuff. We got a list. Amen. But we're saying here, Lord, regardless of my list, because I've humbled myself before you and because I know what you have for me, I can't even imagine or think. So, Father, I'm saying your will and not only my own. Amen. Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer. I know how I see things, but I'm willing to move out of the way if you will send your will down from heaven and let it abide here on earth in the way that you have designed it. Amen? I'm moving my will out the way. I'm moving my feelings out the way. I'm moving my emotions out of the way. I'm moving my dreams out of the way. I'm making room so that it can be your will on the earth. Amen? Verse 11, he knows you have needs. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows you have needs. But listen, what I'm saying, and when I talk about his will over ours, I believe this is how we're coming before God. We're saying, Lord, I believe you for the long term. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm believing you for today. I know that you can take care of my daily bread, so I'm asking you for that. What you have for me today, don't let me miss it. But Father, let me get my daily bread because I know that you have prepared it for me for today. Now, your will be done because I know I have a long term with you in heaven. I'm going for the long term. But while I'm here today, Father, I still have some needs. I know you know what they are. Father, make sure that what you have for me today, I receive. Glory to his name. I believe that not only will you receive me in heaven someday, I'm thinking long term, but I know because Jesus is your son who died on the cross for my sins and rose 3 days later to return back to you. I believe you, God, for someday that you will receive me also in heaven. But I believe you for today. I believe that you will sustain me. You will keep me. You will help me with the trouble that I have for today while I'm here on this earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Lord, forgive us our wrongdoings against you and your people. I know that you sent your son Jesus because of my sins. I know that your word says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. I saw it in Romans 5:8. It said that you demonstrated your love towards us, that in yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Forgive us our debts. I know from 1 John 8 and 9 that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We have debts. And God will forgive us, but in the same verse, in verse 12, in the same verse that we ask for forgiveness, in the same verse that Jesus is teaching us how to pray, in the same verse, verse 12, it also says, as we forgive our debtors. Because listen, somebody is in debt to you right now. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody trespassed against you. Listen, you know, we can't just jump to the end. We can't just jump to get in and out of prayer, but we need to look inward and see if there's some unforgiveness in our hearts. And we have to call on the Lord to help us with that. Help us to forgive against those who have done us wrong, those who owe debts to us, forgiving them with the same desire that we request forgiveness from Father God. Got to ask ourselves, who am I still holding a grudge against? Who am I battling with? Listen, there was an old phrase that said, let go and let God. And I'm feeling sometimes like I can't forgive. I can't let go of this debt, but sometimes I need to let go and let God. Give him what I'm feeling and ask him to help me with this debt. Help me to forgive, oh God. Amen. We can stay there in verse 12, but come on, let's move on. Verse 13 says, and do not lead us into temptation, We asked him, we said, Father, I have some needs today. He's letting us know that some of those needs might not be for us. Listen, if we go on the other way and we said, Father, your will be done, that means there were some other things tempting us that we had to leave aside. So he tells us, don't lead us that way into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Look, he's teaching and he's teaching because he's saying, deliver us from the evil one. He's teaching us that he has the power to deliver us. Amen. Not on our own. He didn't say, don't get tempted and leave you to figure it out by yourself. Amen. But he says, deliver us. He's going to take the onus of that. If we come to him, he's going to take that on him to deliver us from the evil one. He said, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we need to be careful not to come out of our private place of prayer and then move into our private place of temptation. But instead, we need to remember the kingdom of God, the power of God, the glory of God. Amen. And that as believers, we have free access and authority to walk in it. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy 28:13, he said, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Amen. The head and not the tail. We got to remember that. We have to remember who we are to God. God will remind us if we ask him. And whenever we have temptation, when we moving this way and we know we shouldn't, we can come to him. We can remember what he's already told us. We can remember the things of God and we can pray, remembering that his is the kingdom. His is the power. His is the glory. That's what he's offering us. That's the will of God for our lives. Amen. We're children of the Most High, and God has an inheritance for us. We don't need to settle for the temptations whispered by the accuser, but we can receive out of God's kingdom. Even when we feel weak, we can call on the name of the Lord in prayer. We can draw near to him and he will draw near to us. Call on his name. Amen. Glory to God. We know it because when temptation comes, we feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit. We feel the Holy Spirit moving. Don't go that way. Don't do that. That's not for you. Amen. And it's not coming in the way of judgment, but it's coming to remind us again that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We may be weak, but the Lord has the power to deliver us from whatever tricks the enemy sets before us. Glory to his name. Verse 14 says this, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Listen, tell your neighbor, double down on forgiveness. Here in verse 14, Jesus circles back. If we missed it in verse 12, he circles back on forgiveness. He doubles down on it. He's reminding us what he instructed us, but he's also foretelling his atoning work on the cross for the forgiveness of all those who would believe. He's teaching the disciples and he's teaching them this key principle of forgiveness because he's saying, I'm about to show you what it is. So I need you to include it in your prayer. He had started off saying, when you pray, he was teaching them. And now he's teaching them the love of the Father. He's telling us that the Father is getting ready to forgive us for everything we've ever done wrong. The Father is willing and ready to forgive us for every wrong thing that we might stumble upon, even in our future. He's saying today, if you accept my offer, you're not going to die in your sins. You're not going to experience a spiritual death where you would have an eternity without the love of your Creator, Father God. That will not be for you. If you accept the offer of salvation, your purpose that He put in you before you were in your mother's womb, it will not die a spiritual death. But He will bring you to the promise that He has given, and you will join Him one day in heaven. But He's saying this about salvation. He's telling us that it was His purpose to suffer the cross so that we could receive the forgiveness of the Father. But when He doubles down in verse 14, He's also telling us that if we do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive us of our own. And I'm looking at that, and you might wrestle with it a little bit, but really, I don't think it's out of spite that Jesus is saying this, but I think He's still teaching, and what He's saying is that if we can't come in our hearts with what God will provide us in the way of forgiveness, if we can't forgive our debtors, then maybe we don't fully understand the sacrifice of the work that He was to do for us on the cross. Maybe we didn't understand that when Jesus was on the cross, before He gave up the ghost, He proclaimed, "It is finished." The work of forgiveness for once and for all, it was finished. And so when we pray, and because we must pray, we must also forgive. Amen? Saints, we got to put it on the altar. We have to bring it to Jesus, all of our hurt, all of our pain, all of our trauma. Everything that they did to us and against us, we have to bring it and lay it before the Lord, asking Him to teach us to pray, teach us to forgive. Lord, allow me to forgive. Allow my soul to understand the cost that You paid for me when they hung You high, when they stretched You wide. Lord, today, free me of this weight. It's too much. Glory to God. Allow forgiveness to flow freely through my heart. Will you pray that prayer today? Will you ask Jesus to come into your life today? Will you ask Him to show you today? Will you receive Him and forgive others? Listen, the altar is open. The doors of the church are open. Will you come today? Will you allow the Lord to meet you in this place and complete the work that He's begun in you? Will you receive Him? Will you receive His free gift? The doors of the church are open. Come now. Come now. Come now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come now. Oh, glory. God wants to forgive you.
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to say hello to your pastor for us. And if you're looking for a church fellowship in Philadelphia, we'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121.
More information is online at opendoorbaptistphilly.com and Instagram at Open Door Baptist Philly. Until next week, stay encouraged and always remember, God loves you.